Tonight I'd like to talk to you about one of the Ten Commandments. I bet you didn't know I knew them, did you? I didn't. But this one. The one I want to talk to you about is honor thy mother and thy father. You know, it's very in these days to not honor your mother and your father. Now, to me, this is dysfunction. To me, if you can't hold it in when someone is going through their own stuff to such an extent, then perhaps you have something to look at. So I want to talk tonight about what the whole energy system has to do with when we're talking about why the Ten Commandments themselves would say, honor thy mother and thy father. I went through the same stuff with my parents that most people that I know did, actually. It's not that I don't understand the stuff about dysfunctional families. Most of us did grow up in dysfunctional families. Our point here is that doesn't make you special. You see, what the ego does is it glorifies the problem. That's what the ego loves to do. It loves to build it up. It loves to make us so mesmerized by the problem that we're more into the problem, as they say in AA, than we are into the solution. That program says that. Be into the solution, not into the problem. And one of the things the Course in Miracles talks about is dwell on the crucifixion. Do not, excuse me, look at the crucifixion. I guess you'll edit that, Jamie. The Course in Miracles says, look at the crucifixion, but do not dwell on it. The idea that something has to come up in order to be released, but it comes up in order to be released. It doesn't come up in order that you can stay stuck there. And so what happened for me is that I certainly had to look at all that stuff with my mother and my father, and it's very similar to a lot of the stuff that the other people I hear talk about, except fortunately, I think now very fortunately, I went through this before everybody else I knew was going through it. And so instead of having a lot of people support me in my feelings of victimization and in my feelings that, oh, it was so terrible for you and how could they have treated you that way, I had a different context for it, which was the Course in Miracles. And so for me, what the Course in Miracles taught me is you look at it in order to then release it to the Holy Spirit and ask that He change your perception. So I want to tell you what the Course in Miracles has to say about that. The Course in Miracles says that your childhood did not even happen the way you think it did. I'm sorry. Okay? And the Course in Miracles says that the only thing real in your past is the love that was given and the love that was received. Everything else is an illusion. Everything that goes on that's not of love is just an illusion. So the interesting thing about this is that the Course in Miracles says that you are responsible for your perception of everything that happens. No matter what someone does to you, you are responsible for your perception of it. No one can force you to interpret a situation any way that you don't choose to. I don't care if they put you in a dungeon. I don't care if they put you in jail for years and years and years. No one can force you to think differently than you care to. So it's not what happened in our lives that affects us. It's how we interpret and respond. That's our responsibility. This business with our parents these days is becoming like a witch hunt. It is. Not only is it becoming like a witch hunt, but it does remind me of everything I've read about the 50s with the communism stuff, because how dare you argue with it? If you argue with it, if you say, you know, I don't think it's quite that bad, everybody says, oh, you're into denial. That's the way everybody's made to shut up these days. Oh, you're obviously into denial. Obviously, you were molested yourself. So you are into major denial here. And if it's not that you're into denial for yourself, then it's that you are promoting denial. I'm not promoting denial. I'm not promoting suppression. I'm suggesting that we all look at it. I read those books, too. I've been in therapy, too. It's what you do at that point. Now, I do realize that getting clear several years ago about some of the stuff that really went on with my mother was actually an important step, actually, in forgiving her. The reason was I got it out. I got clear about it. And I actually had to get that clear about it to then get... She did the best that she knew how to do. Now, the Chinese, in the I Ching, it talks about how if the family unit falls apart, the society falls apart. Now, that doesn't just mean that if parents stop honoring their children, things fall apart. It also means if children stop honoring their parents, things fall apart. Now, one of the things I pointed out here a lot is you and my parents did not grow up at a time when there were conscious parenting magazines all over the coffee table. Most of us grew up at a time that was not particularly known for its conscious ways. And if you have any sense of history and you look back, especially if you think how old they were at the time, I mean, doesn't that blow your mind? In most of our cases, when the times that you think of that your parents were so rotten to you, they were younger than you are now. And what the Course in Miracles says is this. You are responsible for what you focus on. In every situation and every thought, the Course says, is taking you straight to heaven or straight to hell, which means straight to the peace that comes from an awareness of oneness, or straight to pain that comes from our sense of separation from other people. Now, that means every thought is either extending love or projecting fear. What that means in terms of human forgiveness, in human forgiveness and human relationships is this. You can focus on their guilt or you can focus on their innocence. It's your choice. But to focus, to think, is to will. So whatever you focus on is what will be real for you. Now, the mind cannot serve two masters. You are responsible. So what happens is the mind works according to a law, the Course says, called cause and effect. If you believe in the cause, the effect will be real for you. So if you want to focus on your parents' guilt, then you will be at the effect of their guilt. Because if you think the knife is real, the wound will be real for you. The Course in Miracles says, however, if it wasn't love, the Course talks about cause with a big C and cause with a little C. Cause with a big C means co-creation with God or love, which means everything your parents did that was loving. And the Course says, excuse me, can you remember one tender moment? Was there a moment when they got it right? And the Course says, that was real. That was real. So the Course in Miracles says, that's cause with a capital C, so you are at the effect of those things. Anything they did, the Course says, that was not of love means it was an illusion. The Course says only love is real. Everything else is just a product of a dream. It's true that when you were a child, you had no choice but to be at the effect of it. But you are held accountable to what you know. You know better now. Through awareness, this can be transformed. And so the point is, the Course says, that if somebody did something to you and it was from a non-loving place, that was what the Course calls cause with a little c, which means actually it's causeless, has no effect unless you think it does. So as long as I went around saying, my mother did this, my mother did this, therefore I am such and such a way, I was those ways. Because that's what I was into, was what my mother had done to me. Now, what's really happening, the Course in Miracles says, is that the ego says to you, you know what? Get it out. Just tell them how bad they are. This is called blame. It's the blame mentality. And that's what everybody is blaming your parents. Of course, it's not just our parents. It's anybody, anything, the whole psychology of blame and attack. And yet I'm using parents as an example because it's so in the air these days. So the Course in Miracles says the ego is telling you that if you extend it outward, blaming another person, the ego is saying you'll feel a lot better once you do that. It'll really help you heal. But what the Course in Miracles says is, sorry, the mind doesn't work that way. What the Course says is that an idea doesn't leave its source. So if I find you guilty, I will feel 10 times guiltier. Because there's no such thing as projecting guilt onto another person and then being rid of it. You will feel that way for about 15 minutes, but that's it. Now, one of the things we've talked about here is how it's so important to forgive your parents. Because they are your primary image of adult male and female. So if a woman, for instance, is judging her mother, whether you like it or not, your mother was the first image of adult woman that you had. So as a woman starts blossoming into her own womanhood, if she's got a lot of judgment on her mother, then as she begins to grow into her own womanhood, then she will have judgment on that, so you will judge your own becomingness. And if a woman has judgment on her father, then any man who stands in front of her is going to get it. Because she judges adult men. And same with a man. If he judges his father, he judges his own manhood. If he judges his mother, he's going to project that onto adult women that stand in front of him. So we're sitting here thinking, my parents did a certain thing when I was in childhood. What the Course in Miracles is saying, excuse me, that's what's keeping you stuck in childhood. So what happened for me in this business with my parents was, the Course in Miracles says, you can change your focus. You are responsible for that. What the Course in Miracles says is, look, certain things happened on the earth plane. The earth plane is not the level of reality. The earth plane is the level of what the mind has manufactured. It is only real to the extent that it is infused with love. When we're angry, when we're into blame, that means such and such happened on the earth plane. The Course in Miracles says it's our responsibility to extend the focus of our perception beyond what happened on the earth plane. In other words, your eyes saw it, your ears heard it. But your eyes and ears are physical perceptions. All they will do is tell you more about the world of the illusion. freedom comes from detaching from the realm of the illusion. So the Course says, if somebody does something to you that's non-loving, extend your perception beyond what they did into their heart to who and what they are. And usually with our parents, for the vast majority of us, now there are some very extreme examples, we all know that. But a lot of the stuff in the air these days was not extreme examples. So for the vast majority of people bitching and moaning about mommy and daddy, there's ample opportunity to shift your focus and see some things that they did right. This was a miracle for me in my own life. Because when I got off, you see, as long as I was focusing on what they did wrong, I had absolutely no vision of what they did right. The Course says that the mind cannot serve two masters. When I got, you know, I could talk about my father being emotionally unavailable. Once I got off his being emotionally unavailable, and I used to say things like, well, yeah, he could go out and save the world, but he couldn't be real close and available to his own daughter. Well, now I got, later, I grew up about that. Grow up. That really is the message to this generation. Grow up. I really thought about his parents and the home he came from. And, of course, he didn't know how to be. And when I think his parents were immigrants, when you look at their whole background, of course no one in his home knew how to be intimate and knew how to discuss feelings. And that's why he put the newspaper up. He didn't know how to. And then what I was blaming him for, saying, well, he was so into helping the world, but he couldn't talk to his own daughter. Well, okay, he couldn't talk to his own daughter quite the way you wanted him to talk. He didn't know how. But let's go back to that he was so into helping the world. Is that so bad? But I couldn't claim that as a good. I couldn't claim that as something to be heir to because I was just heir to the mistakes in my perception. Same with my mother. I could bitch about what my mother had done to me. Then when I was willing to get off that, the thought began, the memories changed, and I started thinking about what she did right and how she was always head of all the volunteer services at all the charity hospitals and stuff like that. So she didn't get it all right. You know what the message of the generations is? What your parents didn't get right? You get right. That's what history is about. Every generation is supposed to stand on the shoulders of the generation before it. They weren't perfect. Sorry. But that's what it's about, honoring. You know, it's very important. This generation has broken itself off from a sense of historical continuity. It's amazing. We don't have a sense of ourselves as where we, in terms of where we've come from and where we're going. It's like the propagation of the species. The whole line, the whole continuum, it's like, we just don't. And every generation improves, and your parents didn't get it all right, but the things that they did get right are our inheritance. And in the vast majority of cases, while we're focusing on what they didn't get right, if we would allow ourselves to focus on what they did get right, you know, I was saying to my mother the other day, because the beauty of it is, maybe they weren't, you know, the perfect parents, but I'll tell you something, once I got off, you know, it's that old Mark Twain line about my parents got better? You know, suddenly as I got older, the same thing happened. My parents got better. And I was telling my mother the other day, I said, Mom, you're the best mom in the whole world. And she said, well, you didn't used to say that. I said, well, you didn't used to be so true. You know, you've gotten a lot better. And she said, well, I've learned to bend with the wind, she said. You know, that's the truth. They weren't the best, but you know what? They are now. That's what's important. They are now. They have grown too. But you have to create a context. The Course in Miracles says you are responsible for the creation of a context in which people can grow. Because if you are totally sure that they are blameworthy, then all that you will get, what you focus on, is what you will get. If you focus on someone's guilt, the Course in Miracles likens the ego to a scavenger dog. There's an incredible part in the text where he says it's like a dog that will go out and bring scraps to your master and say, see what they did. And you can find whole groups of people to support you in that belief, right? And you know, look what they did. You can do that if you wish to do that. The message here is that you will not find the light. You will not find peace. You won't. It's not the way the mind operates. But the Course in Miracles says that the Holy Spirit works the same way. It goes out and it brings back for your consideration thoughts. It's all thoughts. That's what angels are. Angels are the thoughts of God. And when you think with God's love, then the angels surround you. And what that means is that you will be reminded of innocence. And I saw in my own life how I went from being dragged out about how my parents treated me to proud to be in the family. Not like in denial, not thinking, oh, this was the greatest, most incredible scene. But I'll tell you something else, okay? When you look at the histories of really brilliant people, most of them did not come from such healthy families. And that's the truth. Because coming, you know, so it's true we came from some dysfunctional stuff. It makes us quirky. It's not the worst thing that could happen. Right? Because, you know, Carl Jung said, I've seen that in my own life. It's some of the places where I wasn't even allowed to get it till I was 20. But then I had a fresh perception on life because I wasn't part of things till late because my mom wouldn't let me. But that was like really okay as it turned out. You know, I had kind of an original perception on things. Everything can be used, not original, but like separated. It was fresh in some way. That's true of all of us. Carl Jung said that whatever your psychic wound is, the flip side of that is your strength. That's where the whole thing about, you know, choosing our parents comes in. You know, if that's true and there are no accidents, it's very interesting. I've seen that. You know, even in the Alice Miller book, the one Drama of a Gifted Child, in that book she talks, I think it's in that, I'm almost positive it's in that book, where she says that many therapists are people who were not listened to profoundly as children. Therefore, they understand how important it is to be listened to, so they make great therapists. So my father wasn't, you know, didn't always know how to be so emotionally available to me. Yawn, yawn, yawn. What that has done for me, and that's my hope for you, that this story grow boring. It becomes our calling card, what mom did, what dad did. It must grow boring to us. That's the next step. Because it's just like everybody else. When are we going to get off? It's not like we are as effective that there's nothing we can do. What I saw from that in my own life was, okay, if your daddy didn't know how to be emotionally available and there was some pain involved with that, what has that taught me? How important it is to be emotionally available. What's so wrong with that? It's not what others didn't give you in the past that is your pain, the Course in Miracles says. The pain, the Course says, is what you are not giving right now. Because if there has been a wound in your life, the Course, and also this is the real meaning of the line, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, means it's God's, it's not yours. That's what it means to say, vengeance is mine, thank you. God did not need you to police the universe. Okay? And vengeance is also does not mean that God is going to go out and strike them dead. That means balance is God's business. Now, we tend to think we have to do God's work for him. That's our confusion. We think we need to be God. We don't let God be God. So the Course in Miracles says that any situation where you have been wounded, see, that's where a lot of our blame stuff comes from. Because my parents didn't treat me better, I'm messed up forever. I will never be able to have the joy I could have had because, don't you see, I grew up in this dysfunctional family and now I'm wounded, da-da-da-da-da-da, we've all heard it, okay? Do you think that God's up there, we've said this all the time, do you think God's up there going, I'd love to help you and I'd love to give you a full, unlimited, joyful life? Your mother was such a bitch, my hands are tied. God's hands are tied. You're giving her an awful lot of power there, aren't you? Now, the message of the Course is that if there is a wound, the universe is like this giant computer. If there is a wound, then what the Course in Miracles says is that every situation in your life has come to be an answer to that. So if there is some place in your life where things have not been perfect for you, the situation that is in front of you right now gives you the opportunity to be free from that. But if we're still focused, the Course says, if you are focused on what happened in the past, actually what you do is recreate the conditions of the past because the future is created in the present. So anytime we have anything about what someone did to us and how someone held us back, first of all, that's not possible. No one can hold you back. So maybe you didn't develop a certain way at the time that you think it would have been nice to have developed. But the Holy Spirit, we have no concept of the radical nature of God's love. We have no real sophisticated notion of how energy works inside people. And the way the power of resurrection, the power of the overcoming works, is that if you didn't, in every area, if you didn't go upward the way you think you might have if mommy and daddy had been nicer, the point is, once you become aware and forgive and are willing to live in full love now, then you make a direct vertical ascent. That's why sometimes it feels like such a quantum leap. So you end up where you would have been. There's no such thing as a wound that can't be healed. In fact, that's really the whole point. It's kind of like what I was saying about original perceptions. If I felt, as so many of us feel, that your parents didn't really care what you felt. They didn't really care what your thinking was, right? I relate to that. I know I didn't get it at the dinner table either. I don't remember a time when people really cared what I thought or what I felt, okay? So I got to that late. But you know what? Once you get to it late, if it's not attached with blame and you're expressing it out of anger, and you begin to appreciate how precious that is, then you sometimes speak it with a more profound edge. And that's what I meant about how sometimes brilliant people have come from situations that were not necessarily perfect in their childhood. All right? They weren't necessarily perfect. It's like we think everything has to be perfect in order to have children. Do you think that Beethoven's mother necessarily had the income that she wanted to have before she gave birth to him? Right? We think the conditions have to be perfect before we have children, and now we think the conditions had to have been perfect with our parents. No, they don't. No generation had it perfect with their parents. But you don't stop growing. The only way that can hold you back is if you stop there. And yet there are so many ways that the ego will glorify the problem and glorify victimization. What's really going on is that this generation is scared to death to grow up. We are terrified of growing up. And that's one of the things I talk about here. It's not an accident. It's not like out of nowhere that this generation, that abortion has become an issue in our generation. We're terrified to give birth to our children because we're terrified to give birth to ourselves. The birth process terrifies us. Now, it might be that one of the reasons we are this much overweight, and one of the reasons I think a lot of us have been terrified to give birth to our own power, is because we didn't feel that our parents nurtured that in us. We might not have felt like mommy and daddy were always supporting us and going forward, or always supporting us and how we felt and all that kind of stuff that wonderful conscious parenting is. The point of the Course in Miracles is that it doesn't matter. They did the best they knew how to do. And this generation might consider the fact at least they gave us birth. At least they let us be born. For no other reason, they deserve honor. And you don't honor your parents. Back to that other thing, it's not that, so we tend to think, well, we're so scared to give birth to ourselves because perhaps mommy and daddy didn't nurture it. The message of the Course is that you give birth to yourself anytime you extend your love. If you want to feel given birth to, give birth to someone else. The amazing thing is, one of the people you can help give birth to is your mother. One of the people you could help give birth to is your father. And so then the context shifts. That's all. And this business of honoring thy mother and thy father, and the reason it would even be something like one of the Ten Commandments, is that, you know, the word conservative is very interesting to me because politically I never consider myself as a conservative, and I used to just, the word was anathema to me, conservative. But I get that there is some value to that word too, and I understand that there are some things. I remember my mom used to say to me, some things never change, and I thought, oh, God, what a disgusting concept, and some things never change. But I see now that she was right. Some things never change. And this business about, as a kind of archetypal concept, honor thy mother and thy father. And that's why it would be one of the Ten Commandments. Some things you do, my parents taught me this, some things you do because they're the right thing to do. You honor, and some, you see, so many things. I remember my mother used to say certain things to me. That's just the way it is. She'd make it like, lay it down like it was law, right? Now, I grew up in a generation where, I'm not going to believe it just because you say it, mother. And because she just laid it down like it was law and could give me no moral background for it, and the truth of the matter is she wasn't thinking real deeply about it at the time herself, couldn't explain to me, to her she just accepted it. See, we were a different generation. She just accepted it from her mother, right? I wasn't going to just accept it from my mother. As a matter of fact, I figured that if you're telling me not to do it, really there is a lascivious pleasure behind it, mother, and you just don't want me to have it. So if she told me not to do it, I tended to do it. Now, one of the things my mother just said, this is law, this is just law, this is just law. Married men, forget it, forget it, forget it, forget it with married men, forget it. Or don't even think about it. That used to be my mother. Don't even think about it. Right? Well, now, if my mother told me don't even think about it, I would think about it. Right? So, like many people in my generation, there's a door marked no, so you have to go through it. Right? Where have I come to in my life? Married men, don't even think about it. Right? But I had to, you know, it's a great experience. When you think about it, that's a very amazing, don't even think about it. See, this generation doesn't know the value of certain things that don't even think about it. There is nothing, because once you've experienced and you've gone, you've seen it from this angle, that angle, this angle, this angle, and you get that there is no possible win in any of the angles, you get, don't even think about it. Right? So you end up with some of the same conservative values that your mother had, but for different reasons. because you have been there. And one of the things that I get now is a conservative value, but I didn't get it. I had to go through my own stuff in order to see why, was honor your father and your mother. Because also, it never occurred to me that the concept of don't even think about it with married men never even occurred to me for your own sake. For your own sake. And I understand now that it's the same thing with honor your father and your mother. It's difficult to feel apart from an honorable place, from a big place, from an adult place, from a magnificent place, a part of the continuum of history without honoring your mother and your father. That's not even to say they got it all, certainly it's not to say they got it all right. It's not even to say they got most of it right. It's something deeper than that. It's something that as a soul, they let you in. And for all this talk, the other interesting thing about it, like I was saying at the beginning, we're talking about how dare they not have had more respect for their children. Well, you know what? I don't see how we plan to have so much respect for our children if we don't have respect for our parents. It's the same thing. What, one context is sacred, but the other isn't? It's all part of a continuum. And I think that this constant business of blaming our parents all the time is keeping us in a very unhealthy mode in terms of the relationship of us to future generations. If you want to respect future generations, if that's the point of all that, how important it is to respect the continuum of your children, then perhaps it's for us to take some responsibility for the respect of that which brought us here. Time is going faster, literally. Literally! Science says that and spirituality says that. The Course in Miracles says we are in a celestial speed-up. We now go through changes in a generation which used to take many generations. So that means that we have come worlds from where our parents were in the 50s, let's say. Sometimes we tend to look at what happened and that affects our perceptions. And the Course in Miracles says, excuse me, could you think a little deeper? Could you think a little deeper? Could you consider this from a deeper place? And like I said, that's when you start thinking, well, what were the circumstances that my parents we're living in? Just think about it. What were the politics at the time? What were the social mores at the time? What were the pressures on them at the time? And everything becomes different. And that's our responsibility, the Course in Miracles says. So everything, you know, this business, we're afraid to grow up. One of my complaints about my mother was that she treated me like a child. But I used to very childishly say, stop treating me like a child, mother. Well, what could be more childish than mother stop treating me like a child? That's childish. And my mother, and then when I was way past the age when it was appropriate, it was like I was begging my mother to allow me to grow up. You know what? She didn't owe it to me. She had done her part. She had done her part. You know who has to give us permission to grow up? You give yourself permission to grow up. And you know what? Give them permission to age gracefully. Does it ever think about what you're not giving? The Course in Miracles says only what you are not giving can be lacking in any situation. You're right. You're right, all these people complaining all the time about their parents. It is true. Something is very wrong when parents don't create a context for children to grow. But something is also very off when we don't create a context for our parents to grow. And like I said, my parents might not have been the most perfect parents, but they did a lot that was right, and they do so much that's right now. That's what I see. They've learned, too. They've grown up, too. You know, one of the things that I always found was so cute with my mother is certain things she wouldn't get from me, right? If I said it. And just like, there are things, if my mother told me, I wouldn't hear it if it came from her. But it was also true the other way. If it came from me, she wouldn't hear it. But God sends messages to you through whatever vessel you'll hear. So God would talk to my mother through her bridge club. Somebody would say to her, oh, Sophie Ann, I don't know, my daughter's living with someone. I'm not sure it's so bad. Right? Now, if I said, it's not the worst sin in the world, but oh, this is so terrible. But if somebody else says, Sophie Ann, I'm not sure it's so bad. My daughter's been living with him. He's a nice boy. Right? And so she starts thinking about it differently. Maybe it's not so bad. Right? Because Shirley's daughter, and, you know, she's pretty nice. You'll get it, however. So my mother learned. We tend to think that they're the same people that they were in 1955 or 1960. They're going through their stuff, too. And as I've seen that, and then you give them a break when you allow people to have grown and be different than they are. And if I had not gotten off it, I wouldn't be able to get all the support from them I get now. Maybe they didn't give me all the support I wanted when I was a child, but you know what? They give it to me now. They give it to me now. The Course in Miracles says miracles happen in the present. But that shift wasn't going to occur if I didn't get off it.
The Course in Miracles says we must be willing to give up our attack thoughts. And until we are willing, and then the Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us. And maybe sometimes it's going to include a little bit of going back and seeing what happened and understanding it, but then releasing it. And only then can we, like I said, if you think that that knife was so real, then the wound will be real for you. If you think your parents kept you from growing up, then that will be your experience and you won't be grown up. Your parents are not your parents, really. Not cosmically, they're your brothers. God is your father and God is your mother. And your parents can't keep you from full adulthood. God grants you full adulthood, but you have to be willing to receive it. And you're willing to receive it by knowing your parents didn't hold you back. Nobody can keep you from being loving in this moment. And one of the places you can start is with your parents. Whatever your psychic wound is, that's a key to your psychic answer. Carl Jung said that. It's an extremely empowering thing to understand. Don't, when you're thinking of your spiritual path and forgiving, don't avoid your parents because it's too difficult. Go right into it. Take the biggest wound you feel. Take the biggest bleed that you can feel and say, you know what? I'm going to start with them. Because if you can forgive your parents, it's a huge release of energy. Because from the time that you were a tiny, tiny baby, real man was daddy and real man was, excuse me, real woman was mommy. So if you want to be a real woman or a real man, and if you want to appreciate other people as real men and real mommy. I don't know what it is today. All I took was Excedrin. Huh? You want to really be able to appreciate other people as real men and as real women, let mommy be a woman. See what was right about mommy. Let her be a real woman. And let daddy be a real man. You think they didn't let you be? You let them be. So this business of honoring thy father and thy mother, it's like with everything else in the Ten Commandments. It's not for somebody else's sake. It's for your sake. It's not just what they didn't give you. It's what we're not giving them right now. I know for myself, there was a tremendous release of energy in my life when I got off it about mommy and daddy. And there was a tremendous growth factor into my adulthood. And I really think that that's what this generation wants desperately, is to be adults. Desperately. We have had the longest post-adolescence in the history of the world. And as sad as it is for a child not to have the experience of childhood, it's also very sad for adults not to have the experience of adulthood. And one of the things an adult does not do is constantly bitch and moan about mommy and daddy. Let's say a prayer and ask God to help us with this.
You had Thanksgiving dinner. How'd you do? I went home for Thanksgiving, which is in Houston, and as the plane was about to land, my friend said to me, you know, it's so amazing when you're about to land in an airplane. It amazes me every time, you know, and you're looking down on the ground. And my friend said to me, just think what it would be like if we were landing on a different planet. Like, if you were coming here from a different planet and you saw Earth. And I said, well, we are going to have dinner with my family, which is... You haven't done that yet, but this is interplanetary travel. Truly the difference, you know, that you might find, we have this idea that space is so different, and if you went to another planet, it's a different space, and therefore so far away it would be so different, when really, as we all know, sometimes the distances that seem to separate us in terms of the way we live or in terms of the thoughts that we think, or it's like it's a different universe. Everybody's life is a different universe. So I said to myself, you know, the only reason that it seems to us, you know, we have this idea that if you landed on another planet, it would be very exciting. Right? Because it would be different. That's what makes us think that it would be so exciting to go to a different planet. It would be so different. Now, what our head says is because it's so far away and because we haven't done it yet, we know that it would be very different. Whereas the same mind says, well, if you're going to just another city and you're going to visit other people like yourself, you already know what it's going to be like. So you've already judged it right there. You've already judged it right there and cut out your fun factor. You know what I'm saying? Whereas the truth of the matter is that little children, let's say, would be going there and wouldn't have any idea that they knew what was going to happen. So to them, it would be fun. So I said to my friend, I said, let's right now change our mind. Because what we have seen demonstrated for ourselves in our attitude is that going to outer space would be kind of an exciting Thanksgiving weekend. But going where we're going, we know what it's going to be like. So let's just give up that judgment right now. And let's say the truth about the matter, which is that every single person that we are going to visit this weekend, every person that we're going to see, they have their own universe. They live in their own universe. And we can be as little children, which means completely open to the experience. Not going in with any ideas of what people are like and how people are going to behave. Or more importantly, any ideas that you know this already. You know this scene. right? Now, remember, the second law, there are two main principles in the Course. One is nothing real can be threatened, which means love cannot be destroyed. And number two, nothing unreal exists, which means that anything other than love is just a hallucination. It doesn't exist anyway. Now, I haven't seen the latest Star Trek movie, but it was reported to me that Captain Spock says that the second law of metaphysics is nothing unreal exists. So that's kind of exciting that it's... Because I listened to Dr. Spock before I listened to The Course in Miracles.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who are on their way to A Course in Miracles that don't know it yet will be seeing that movie. Right? One of the stepping stones, probably. Anyway, so nothing unreal can be threatened, and nothing unreal exists. Now, it's that nothing unreal exists part that's interesting. Like in my family, there are a lot of cousins, brothers and sisters. Everybody has children, so there are a lot of children around. And it's been very interesting in my family. Like, I remember when we were the children's generation, it's always three main generations, you know? And now the generation that was, like, just the adults. When I was a child, of course, we're becoming a little older, and then we're supposedly beginning to be the adults. And then there are all these little children, right? There are all these little children. Well, you know, there's this idea that the kids are running around having a blast, right? It's one thing that the kids are running around having a blast, and the parents are sitting there in their own world, but they're not quite as excited about life as the children are, right? So the worldly judgment says, well, the kids are off in a world of their own. Isn't it sweet that they still have their innocence? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could help them to retain their innocence, whereas the adults are dealing with the real world? Right, the adults have gotten to the point where they have to deal with the real world, and so it's not as easy for them to just run around, be joyous, and have fun. Well, remember, as far as The Course in Miracles is concerned, no. The adults have gone off into their own little world that means nothing. They're the ones who are playing, and it's bad games, for that matter. And the children, however, are in the real world. The children are in the real world, and the meaning of nothing real can be threatened is that all of the love which is there cannot be destroyed. Every human being in the room, like I look around this room, there must have been 50 people there, and I looked around in the room and I realized that as far as the Course is concerned, all of the love that emanates from the children is no different than the love which emanates from the adults. Those adults in the room, every age, up to like 80 years old, were no different in God's eyes than the little children are. There's just as much love emanating from their hearts, but the difference is that it has become obscure to them in their awareness. The adults have blocked from their conscious awareness the love which the children still see. It's not that the children have innocence and the parents have lost it somehow. It is that the children have innocence, meaning that they only see that which is loving. That's what innocence means. They only see the fun. Whereas the adults, remember, the innocence has gone to sleep. It hasn't been destroyed. That's the meaning of Snow White, Sleeping Beauty. It's asleep right now. And the meaning of human evolution is that in the adults as well as in the children, it's beginning to be awakened. People are beginning to see that. Now, you don't have to go into a situation like that. You were sent by God into a situation like that, all right? You, as a teacher of God, go into a room where the children already have it. You don't have to worry about the kids because the kids are going around having a blast. You go into the room and the adults seem rather serious-minded. You know, and they're talking about things like Iran arms deals and the economy in Houston right now. You know, stuff very real to them. And that's what they're talking about, real adult things, and they're not running around and having a blast. Now, the teacher of God is not someone who goes into that room in order to bring love. Now, this is the interesting shift of perception. It's not that you, as a teacher of God, because remember, what are we? We're a spiritual underground. That's what the second coming is. That's what the spiritual rebirth is about. It's about all these people who are going out into different rooms and different cities and different homes and different families. Whatever it is, that's your ministry. You don't determine where it is. You don't determine what it is. But wherever you are, that's it. And you come literally as an ambassador from God. Nothing less. Nothing less. Just as the children were born to be ambassadors from God, so is as an adult. You know, when children are born, everybody gets excited. Everybody's happy to see the little babies, right? Everybody's happy to see the little babies because of all the love that's still emanating from their heart. Well, as an adult, you can have all this love emanating from your heart and be consciously aware of it. Now, in that sense, you walk into the room, and it's not that you see all these people whose lives don't have love and you're going to bring it to them, but rather, technically, it's that you realize that all this love that is in them is simply unacknowledged at this point. It is obscure. It is not in their conscious awareness.
Now, nothing unreal exists is your empowerment. The realization that nothing unreal exists is your empowerment in that moment. Because what you recognize is that it's the adults that are playing games. You know how usually you go into the little kid's room, let's say, and all the kids are running around playing a game, and they're playing hide-and-go-seek or something, so one of the adults says, you know, isn't that cute? They're just playing. It doesn't mean anything, but they're having fun. You get to the point, remember, the Course in Miracles completely reverses your thought system. So you're the one who then goes into sit at a table and everybody's talking about the economy or the Iran arms deal and stuff like that, and you realize, isn't that cute, they're playing these games. Right? Isn't that cute, they're playing these games. That's no judgment on it, you see. That's just recognizing what is real and what is unreal. And then your mind as a teacher of God becomes a vessel. Your mind becomes a vessel by which you remember the truth. And what you remember is that everybody at that table, regardless of what they're wearing or what they do or what they say or anything else, is merely a being of love. And if you remember that, you are to be that, to remember that. And that's all that this course is about reminding you who you are. To the extent that you are reminded, your mind then becomes a vessel, and you just have an effect on your environment. That's the way it's supposed to work. You see, I, for years, very much separated myself from my family. Very much separated myself from my family, and I had all kinds of judgments on them, and I was harsher on, and I think this is probably true for most people, I was harsher on my family than on anybody, right? And so what it was that by separating myself from my family, it took me years to realize that, as we've spoken up here so many times, too, if you don't get healed with your mother and father, forget becoming a peaceful adult. There's just really no such thing, because your mother and your father are your primal imagery within yourself of what it means to be an adult. So I had to realize that about my mother and father, and then I had to realize about my entire family, that there's no accident where you enter biologically. On one hand, they didn't give birth to me spiritually. God gives birth to us spiritually. But they are the context in which I came onto this earth. And, you know, sometimes when people talk about how you can go into your past and you can revision, you can see things somewhat differently, I realized in my life that I had, because of all the judgments that I had on my family, I was denying to myself, not to them, but because of all the judgments I had on my family, I was denying to myself what could be had there. Okay? What gift I could be given there, which had to do with the fact that there's an extended family, with the fact that you have aunts and you have uncles and people who express their interest in you and want to know about you. And you have, the Course in Miracles says, total responsibility for how you perceive what people say. You are totally responsible for how you interpret what people say. So to get clear with your family, and that's why holidays are such an opportunity, to go into any situation and to know, you know, regardless of what these people do, regardless of what they say, regardless of who they are, if I open my mind and I say, I give this to the Holy Spirit to interpret for me, I'm going to walk in here and I know that regardless of what people say or do, they are merely loving beings. And I desire to have that attitude, not only so that they can be awakened, because remember, that's how Snow White and Sleeping Beauty came to be awakened from their sleep. The Prince Charming kissed them. And Prince Charming is the Prince of Peace. Prince Charming is the Prince of Peace, who is within us all, the Christ. That's who he is. And when he kisses someone, it means he joins in love with someone. So as you do that, not only, and remember, he won from the deal too, Prince Charming, because they both lived happily ever after that. He was lonely until he kissed Snow White. He was lonely until he kissed Sleeping Beauty. So when you go and allow yourself to be Christ to someone, not only do they awaken to some different level, but you awaken to some different level. And that's the whole point of this. The Course says heaven is entered two by two. The ark is entered two by two. Salvation is a collaborative venture. You cannot find heaven without taking other people with you. And that doesn't mean that you take them by the hand and you pull them into your religious system, but it does mean that in your mind, you see them as just like you. And in a situation where you have adults and you have children, to see adults as just like you means to recognize that all of you are just like the children. Now, it is in that you begin to recognize how much power you have over how other people respond to you. I felt for a long time that my family really left me out of things. I felt that my family really left me out of things and kind of had almost like this black sheep thing in their perceptions towards me. And I had to take responsibility for the fact that it was I that regardless of who started it, you know, we go into this thing, well, who had judgments first? Doesn't matter who had judgments first. The point is that I had gotten to the point where I was judging men. I was separating myself off from them. Because, you know, you see it in homosexuals and you see it in Jews. And you go, it's two broad social groups, and you see it in everyday psychology. And that is that when you feel that someone in any way has separated you first, really, regardless of what you say, that hurts. And then what you tend to do is to say, well, I'm separate from you. You throw it back. And it just snowballs. It snowballs and makes a tremendous separation. And it's all healed the moment you stop saying, well, they're separating themselves from me. And you open your heart to realize that it's your responsibility to see them as not separate from you. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're complaining because you think other people look down on you, then that's your judgment. That's your way of looking down on them. Correct? So to go into any situation and to simply embrace, the only way that you can get to that point where you are willing to do that is to recognize that incredibly empowering sentence, nothing unreal exists. Nothing unreal exists. You know, when I was a child, I traveled all over. And I'm so grateful to my family for the fact that they did take me as a young child to travel. I traveled all over the world. So what I saw very young, experientially, before I read it, I got it in here because it was through the eyes of a child. People are the same everywhere. People are the same everywhere. They are all the same beings. Some wear certain kinds of clothes, other wear different kinds of clothes. Some live in this kind of a house, some live in other kinds of houses. Some live in this place, some live in that place. They are all the same. And the new world will arrive in consciousness, and it will arrive in consciousness before it arrives out there, through the portal of human beings just like us, human beings who allow their minds to see that. You know, I had to go to dinner on Friday night, my mother said to me, no, Thursday night, my mother said, oh, we're going to so-and-so's house for dinner. And my first thought was, what do you mean we're going to so-and-so's house for dinner? Right? Because my mother, that's my mother, she says, oh, we're going to the Hollands for dinner. Who are the Hollands? You know, it's like, what do you mean we're going? I said, well, you didn't ask me, da-da-da-da-da. So she goes into this big thing of, they asked me, I said, yes, they made place at their table, but if you don't want to go, that's fine. You know, like, stop and you think, well, what does this mean? Well, what it means in Course in Miracles terms is it's not up to you to determine where you're going. See, my mind a few years ago would have said, I don't have to go with you to their house just because they're going to your house. You could have invited me, Mother. You could have said something to me, Mother. What do you mean? I don't know who these people are. What are they? You know, and she would go into this, well, I have judgments on my mother that definitely need to be healed because of what she finds impressive in people. She thinks that lawyers, for instance, are a noble class. It's like they're just it's like they walk on clouds. Now, I know some very nice lawyers, and I come from a family of lawyers, but the idea that lawyers are better, I mean, it's almost ridiculous. And she did, because nobody's better and nobody's worse. And she would say, I don't think that, but everything's sort of built around that. You know, she's a very, it's not about money, it's not about materialism, but she's an educational snob. That's what she is. It's a kind of elitism, you know. So then I have a judgment back on her for that. Do you see what I'm saying? So that I tend to judge the people that she puts up as somehow down for their PhD or whatever. It's so ridiculous. And you have to, so I'm always praying to have my judgment healed of that. So what I had gotten to was the fact that if my mother thought they were wonderful people, and she had just gotten a PhD in this, and he had just gotten his double ball degree, whatever, I had to heal my judgments back at them. So for years, I wouldn't have gone. I would have said, well, Mother, I think that you don't have to be this or that or this or that to be impressive at all, and they're no more intelligent, right? I would run my game right back. So I said, all right, now what does the Course say? The Course says, it's not up to you to determine where you're going. It's not up for you to determine where you're going or how you're going to be or whatever. So I said, well, thank you. Well, you know, I'll be glad to go. So into these people's house, and the amazing thing, remember, is that wherever you go, whoever people are, you know them before you get there. You know them before you get there. You don't have to wait and see what kind of house they live in. You don't have to wait and see where they live or what they do or any of those accoutrements of that outer level. All that, nothing unreal exists. It doesn't even exist. It's no different than anything else. Now, I used to think, sometimes I find people, my father's excuse sometimes, I said to my father, you never talk to me about what I do. You never talk to me about what I do. And my father's answer to me was, well, I don't understand what you do. right? I don't understand what you do, therefore I don't know what to say or how to question, right? Now, what the Course in Miracles has certainly taught me in my experience is that I don't have to understand what people do technically in order to come from a loving space. And if you come, see, what the teacher of God becomes is a great communicator. And so it's because your heart, your space is open within your heart, so you might not know what people do, but because your heart is open, you do that which makes anybody feel better, and that's that you ask them what they do. And you listen. And I remember at dinner the other night, you know, the miracle was, all right, at first the anger at my mother because I didn't want to go. Secondly, the realization, now wait a minute, that's not for me to say. My mother is a vehicle by which I meet whoever I'm supposed to meet. And you go into a situation and, you know, this woman, the first thing she said to me, she said, it's so nice to meet you. You know, I've wondered about you for so long. I don't know what you do. I always ask my family what you, your family, what you do. Nobody can really tell me what you do. So they're very nice people. All people are nice. Now, the interesting thing to remember is I look around the table and I met these people's parents, I met these people. You're meeting strangers. And the issue here is that the ego mind would tell you that there's such a thing as strangers. The ego mind would say, I don't know these people. Who are these people? Why am I here? I don't care about this, or I don't care about that. I cannot believe we're talking about this or that. That's not the way the Holy Spirit works. That's not the way the Holy Spirit works, just knowing that you come into that situation with nothing other than a realization of what's really going on here. And that's that everybody you meet is someone just like you. And the amazing thing for us all to remember is that this stuff works. It works, because by the end of the... an hour and a half later, 2 hours, the whole family, that whole family was gathered around their VCR to watch. My friend who I brought with me was on this television show, and they all had the tape, and they were all watching, and they were all loving, and they were all sweet, and they were all, you know, watching him and making